Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, we welcome you to this program. It is the advice, pieces of advices, as well as the different aspects. And Mufti Akusap is here today and he's joining us. You know, Jummah is this special. Alhamdulillah. So let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mazahisam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. We had extremely good reports, especially by Mufti Abdul Qadir Sap, about the Ijtima and by many others, mashallah. He said everything was just tip-top. There was no even bulb that was out of place. Alhamdulillah.
Allah has really blessed us. Allah took care of everything. Our guests came from far and wide, and Allah helped us in regards to making the khidmah. Really, the ni'mah of Allah. Our elders who were here were really an inspiration. There's a team that, you know, go ahead before the days of the Ijtima and they handle the affairs of what's to be done. And I must mention, subhanAllah, what an amazing team of Haji Abdul Rahman. Haji Abdul Rahman Desai and his team. And he's been in this from the time of Baipadi Rahmatullah Ali. Him and especially Haji Abdul Samad Chauhan Sahab, who's the most senior in this, you know, and alhamdulillah, they were here. And they guided us before the Ijtima and after the Ijtima. Alhamdulillah. Because after the Ijtima, before the Ijtima, everyone is so enthusiastic to do things and to be there. And after the Ijtima as well, up to now, they are still in Newcastle. And, you know, guiding us how everything should be packed up and sorting everything out. And subhanAllah, it's not just, okay, the work is done now, the Ijtima is complete, we are gone. So they have to make sure everything goes back into its place. It's a really an enormous responsibility and well carried out by this amazing team, alhamdulillah. And the community was fully by their side in khidmah and in service night and day, alhamdulillah. Allah's fadl, the men folk and the women folk, alhamdulillah. Our musturat also, alhamdulillah, in Newcastle carried out such amazing khidmat in serving the guests, sending food at different hours and different times without any complaint, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
As I mentioned, before the Ijtima, one of our most senior asatira saw an amazing dream where the food was coming and Allahu Akbar, everyone was having and everyone was taking, meaning everyone was partaking. And he saw Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also take. And he said this to me, that this means that Allah's special tawajjuh is on the Ijtima, and is also an indication to the blessings of the meals prepared by our, the women of Newcastle, alhamdulillah.
So
Allah's fadl, Allah is really blessed. And let's not forget, one of the senior people in this Jamaat that came to maintain and guide us throughout the Ijtima, and he's still there in Newcastle, he was mentioning how he was appointed to actually see the numbers. And he says, when we first saw the site, we thought, will it fit? Because they actually have a very precise understanding of the tents and the sizes and what is needed and so forth. Then, because obviously the Ijtima was given to Newcastle, but they hadn't decided as to the venue of Newcastle. He says when the Mashura was taking place in Hilal, a few weeks later, just before they had to move towards Newcastle to start work on the site, and the seniors, the Medar, Haji Abdul Samad, then heard all the opinions. And when all the opinions were heard, and he finally decided for Darul Uloom to be the site. He says, we were shocked because all the opinions were different. There were different other venues in Newcastle. But subhanAllah. And then we laid the Ijtima Maidan, you know, Allahu Akbar. Everything fitted so nicely. There was still much more space. They even put more tents, Allahu Akbar. So Maulana Akram Sahib, who was in this whole thing, he was saying that really Allah extended and expanded the land. And subhanAllah, these are spiritual, pious people, you know. And he said this. But it has happened where Allah says, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. What is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because everything fitted so nicely, Allahu Akbar, where even there's an incident of a person who perpetrated 99 crimes. Imagine what hideous crimes. He murdered 99 people. But thereafter in his life, he was remorseful and regretful. And then he went to a man who he asked advice from and counseling from, that you think Allah will forgive me? That man says, after what you have perpetrated, never, an impossibility. He got so irritated, he killed him also. But sometime later in his life, when he went to another righteous alim, And he asked him for advice. He said, of course, Allah will forgive you, but you have to change. And what will help you change is come out of your environment, go into a better environment which is conducive, Allah, and it will help you bring good qualities in your life. And as he left his area to another area of righteous people to change his life in the company of pious people, as he's en route, Allah decreed his death. It was time for him to die. And now the angels towards, in charge of Jannah, and the angels of Jahannam, both came to take his soul. Now there's an argument between these two sets of angels, where Allah then sends another angel to decide between the two teams of angels that measure the earth. Which one is he closer to? The land he left from, that way he perpetrated those crimes, or the land which he was going towards to change his life? Now when the angels are measuring, he was actually closer to the land he left from. But Allah commanded this land to distance itself. And Allah commanded the other land that he was going towards to closen itself. And subhanAllah, he was found to be a little closer to the land he was going towards. Alhamdulillah, he was sincerely trying to change. And what is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything fitted so amazingly well. And even the numbers and the multitude and the people. Alhamdulillah, and the unity and the love, which is really out of this world. Alhamdulillah, thousands of people, more than expected. Even the one day, they were expecting, our elders said 5,000 or 6,000. Double that amount came. Double Allah. That amount. And imagine, at one stage, the food got finished, and in the main tent, because they weren't expecting such a crowd. And then, afterward, they realized someone else put on 4 decks. Why he put it on? How he put it on also was not understood. Why? Allah, why was that 4 decks put? And alhamdulillah, food was sufficient for everybody. I tell you, in this Mubarak work, we learn one thing. Turn to Allah all the time. And Allah is in control. So Allah brought it. Allah gave it. And Allah took care of it. Allah made it happen. And Allah, through His mercy and grace, we ask Him, Allah, keep the effects of the ijtima amongst us forever and ever. Someone said, you know, after the ijtima, you won't want another ijtima. So we're sitting the last few nights with our Newcastle brothers, and the guys are emotional. Our brothers from India, our brothers from foreign, all are one. Ijtima makes us see everyone as a brother. Nobody is foreign. Nobody is of this color or that nation. This Mubarak work has the khasiyat of teaching us not to look down upon any creation and not to think ourselves better than anyone else. This Mubarak work has that quality. From the fall of the Khilafah, the Ottoman Khilafah, one of the diseases that crept into the Ummah that was very, very sad was one thought, I am better than the next. The Arabs thought, hey, we are deserving. The Turks felt, no, we are superior. And this disease, as it crept in, we forgot Al-Jami'a Al-Islamiyya. We are one united Ummah of the beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But not long after the fall of the Khilafah, and basically at the same time, Allah gave us a work where each one works on another Muslim brother, irrespective of his color, race, nationality, background, region, love each other, work together, bring each other to the masjid. And subhanAllah, so many of this work has that khasiyat. Bring people together. Love each other for who? For Allah's sake. That this is Allah's creation. Don't look down upon him. Don't search for his faults. Win him over. Inshallah, Allah will make him better than us. Subhanallah. And then so many memories came about because we met so many amazing guests. I'll never forget Maulana Yusuf Salaji Sahib. Maulana Yusuf Ibrahim Salaji Sahib. He was telling us that he was a student of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Alayh in the 70s. He says in the 70s, he'll never forget the 1978 Ijtima in Darul Uloom, Newcastle. He says Maulana Qasim Sima gave us the blankets to stitch. That was the musallas. And each student had to stitch the musallas and hand it over to a certain person in charge, Haji Mehta Sahib. And then he was telling us about the wuzu khanas they had to prepare and so forth and so forth. Allahu Akbar. He says in those days, the ijtima saman used to be kept in Newcastle because Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Ali was one of the most senior in the work. He had actually met Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh in the early 1900s, in 1939, 1940. That time, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Alayh went in this work and did this work and loved this work. And when he came back to South Africa as an alim, he used to even teach his maktab students this Mubarak work. So I was amazed with those karguzaris of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Salaji Sahab. Allah reward him abundantly for that. And then so amazing, pious people. We had opportunities to meet brothers from where and where in the world. Allahu Akbar, from Detroit, from Djibouti, from Zimbabwe, from, local South Africa, far and wide, our elders from all the markazes, and jamaats galore. And the peace, the unity, the love, and the non-Muslims in the surrounding areas were telling our Muslim guys who were in security. Now, this Mubarak work of Ijtima is so amazing. Even the person who's in charge of security, he's not just anybody. You come there and you do security. No, they sit you down and they explain to us that we are Muslims first. The security is not to fight with people or be harsh with people. And when people are trying to come through, very politely explain to them that why they can't come into this section or can't park here. Tell them lovingly. And if there's non-Muslims wanting to go through, don't make it difficult for them. Be kind to them. So many non-Muslims came forward. Some actually came to see what is going on, alhamdulillah, because they were so intrigued. Thousands of people, but peaceful, loving, sharing. Is this humanly possible? But they're not realizing. And subhanAllah, this is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the day, the last day of the Ijtima, on the Sunday when everyone was leaving, Allahu Akbar, and we were greeting the people who were getting onto the buses. There were so many people you meet. Now this is this Mubarak work. There's a person who came with his friends. He came, when he came, he had earrings. He had tattoos. But now he's come, that environment of Ijtima changed him. Now he's repenting, he's regretting, and he's going back a different person. There was another person who came with his friends, he grew up with them, he was Christian. But being in that environment for a few days, Allahu Akbar, he goes back a changed person. So like that, this Mubarak work, as Hazrat Mullah Qasim Sima rahmatullahi would say, that you see, this works of deen is like a washing machine. You take the people, and that's exactly what tabligh is about. Hazrat Mullah Qasim Sima rahmatullahi's understanding of tabligh. So in the early stages, with regards to students also, Mawlana Qasim Sima rahmatullah alayhi would look for any excuse to keep the student. And quite a few times, senior asatira would get very upset that how can you keep this person? So Mawlana would then call that teacher politely one side and say, let's see, respected ustad, if this man goes home, he'll lose his iman. He's the only Muslim in his entire society. Let's work on him. Let's try and make more effort on him. See, Mawlana Qasim Sima rahmatullah alayhi's understanding was so amazing. Because of his understanding of this Mubarak work of tabligh, that give every person a chance, give every person hope. We are here to serve them. We are here to prepare them for the ummah. And we see this mizaj in Sahaba Kiram, radiallahu anhum. In the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhum, there were so many new Muslims in Medina Munawwara, and their tarbiyat was not made because they were tabi'een. And some of them were disrespectful, in their way, in their approach, in their questions. So a few Sahaba came to Hazrat Abu Bakr saying that these people, their ways and their andaz and their methods are totally inappropriate. So Hazrat Abu Bakr sat them down in a private discussion and he said to them, but let me remind you, can you remember how our Nabi treated us and treated the people, irrespective of how people treated him? Wasn't he tolerant? Wasn't he patient? How he worked on us? How he prepared us? Hazrat Abu Bakr said this. The Sahaba were emotional. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr said, yes, you see, if we tolerate them, tomorrow it will be them to take Allah's deen to the four corners of the world. Brings us to this, this desire to be in the company of the righteous and the pious. And we look in the Quran. Allah says in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ فِي الصَّالِحِينَ. The people of Iman and A'mal, we will definitely place them among the righteous and among the pious. And I noticed this in our Mawlana Akram Sahib, our Shaykh al-Hadith. Any jamaat that comes about anywhere in Newcastle, no matter who the jamaat is, no matter where the jamaat is from, I'll go and visit the jamaat because I know we love the jamaats. And this Mubarak work is what changed our entire family. My grandfather changed his life through going a few days in the jamaat. That's where he learned sunnat is to eat on the floor. Otherwise, where we learned these Mubarak sunnats of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we, any jamaat come, we learn from our asati that go and sit and benefit from them. But any jamaat, I'll go and visit. Before I get there, Hazrat Mawlana Akram Sahib, our Shaykh al-Hadith, The most senior teacher, teaching in Darul Uloom for 43 years, he is there sitting with the Jamaat, and nobody knows it. Should we learn this from him? Allah says in the Quran, those who have Iman and Amal, we will definitely place them among the righteous. لَنُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ فِي الصَّالِحِينَ. And I would like to encourage and exhort our respected listeners, whenever any work of deen is taking place, a dhikr majlis is taking place, halaqa of ta'aleem is taking place, mashura is taking place, a program of deen bayan is taking place, and we walk out, look at this ayah, what the Quran says, the people of Iman and Amal, we will definitely place them among the righteous and among the pious. Ask ourselves when we walk away from there, that Allah, give me tawfiq also to be part and parcel of this Mubarak work, that you have taken this work to the four corners of the world, and thousands and millions of people have changed their lives through this amazing, simple, Mubarak work. The simplicity of this work is Allah's protection for this work. Otherwise, one would think that a person is putting his kitty and he's going out, staying in the masjid, bringing Muslims to the masjid, eating food, certain, here the etiquettes of eating before gush, here the etiquettes of how to walk on the side, right hand side of the road, how not to look into people's homes, how to look, to talk to people politely, or when you go to the masjid, don't mess the masjid you're going to, don't even use the towels of the people there, because now people don't understand, so respect them, they'll get upset, they'll get irritated, because people don't understand the Jamaat coming into our area, what a help it is for us, what a blessing it is for us. They're going to make an effort on our society, on our community, but the etiquettes that the Jamaat are given, now sometimes the Jamaat will come to our area, and maybe masjid will get messed or something like that. But as trustees, respected Ummah, yes, the Jamaat was not supposed to do that. But sometimes understand, this Jamaat doesn't chase anybody that, no, you can't come. And, oh, because you come from this family, you well-educated, you can come. No, anyone who comes, mashallah, mashallah. And before the Jamaat leaves, they will give this person the etiquettes, that this is how we should spend our time. We should not be on our phones. We should, greet the people politely. If people are used to sitting at a certain place in their masjid, don't take their seat. Show them that respect. And then they say the teas, make sure takbira ula, make sure, you know, ta'aleem, make sure our tahajjud is performed, make sure we are punctual on our tasbihat. So beautiful teachings, hidayat, guidelines, that, you know, sometimes when we hear the program of the Ijtima, the Hidayat program, we sometimes feel, oh no, this is just for people to go out in Jamaat, they must hear this Hidayat. No, respected Ummah, that Hidayat talk is so amazing. It is actually for every one of us to take these guidance and guidelines on how to live our day-to-day life as a true Muslim. Take the opportunity when the Ijtima has the Hidayat talk. I really feel we'll enjoy that talk the best in the entire Ijtima, because it's what to leave this Ijtima with, how to go back home as a different person, how to treat our families. Even when the Jamaat comes back after spending 4 months or a few months in the path of Allah, the Markaz stops them, spend a few days in the Markaz, and then they'll hear their Karguzari, how you spent your time. And then they give something called Rawangi, Hidayat, guidelines on how to go home, how not to look for the faults of your family. Now, they didn't spend these few months in the path of Allah. You can't go home and break a door. You can't go home and just break the TV. No, you have to make an effort on your family to get them to your level. Now, do the halaqa of ta'aleem at home. If you're going to do certain things and you want to bring such a quick change because now you're joshed up because of those few months, you're not going to bring a change. Your family will run away from you. So they even teach that. What an amazing work Allah inspired Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi to bring alive. Alhamdulillah. So really, some brothers said, no, after the Ijtima, you won't want Ijtima again. I was mentioning that. Allahu Akbar, never. We were sitting with the Newcastle brothers. And Ya Allah, the guys were emotional the last few days on the Ijtima Maidan. The guys were tearing that, Ya Allah, let this not be the last. Give us opportunities again. And guys are leaving the Ijtima Maidan, not for 3 days. They were there for a few months, a few weeks beforehand. But every night, you just leave the site at 12, 1. You know, after labor, you sit with the brothers, have tea, talk. And you would think maybe the guys would be tired. No, no tired. That spirituality, that iman, that love, that greeting of people, that enthusiasm to greet first, that passion for each other, to uplift each other, to do for each other, irrespective of race, color, nationality, background. It was phenomenal. And I tell you, the Newcastle brothers were so keen, Allahu Akbar. And our Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib, you know, he visited us in Newcastle, and we always had some lovely discussions with him. Our Ustad Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He also mentioned this kitab, but we found a great profound effect of this kitab called Embracing the Truth. The translation is called Embracing the Truth. The original is named Naseem-e Hidayat Ke Jhonke, The Breezes of Hidayat. And what's the content in this book is encounters with reverts, and they have been interviewed on what they've been through and how they maintained and how they protected the iman and how they brought others to deen. But what's amazing in 90% of those karguzaris and scenarios is when they embraced Islam, they found it very hard to actually maintain their deen in the society until they went out in Jamaat, until they went out in the path of Allah. That's when they felt that, you know what, now I'm part of the society, I'm part of Iman, I'm part of the Muslims. Before that, they don't feel part and parcel of the society. And that's what we would encourage our brothers and our listeners, that, and my sisters, a lady who embraced Islam, the weekly ta'lim that takes place, you know, take this lady, pick her up, but speak to a few ladies over there also that are bringing this sister. So when this new sister comes, they also, make ikram, greet them with a smiling face. Don't look at them with a judgmental eye. There was a student we had in Darul Uloom, Maulana, from Mozambique, Maulana Yusuf, right? A wonderful student of ours. And a few years ago, he qualified as an alim. But how he embraced Islam was, his father was a senior priest in Mozambique. But he used to hang out with some Muslim boys. And they used to go to a nightclub. They used to take some substances together and spend hours together. Then it so happened, on one occasion, he looked for his friend, and his friend was gone out in the Jamaat. And it happened to be the month of Ramadan. And he was waiting for his friend. His friend went to spend 10 days in the path of Allah. That same friend returned, and this guy, Charlie, or whoever, whatever his name was, he says to his friend, come, you know, I've been waiting for you, and let's get together. So that friend says, you know what, I can't. Life is so short. I can't spend my life like this, frivolously, you know, aimlessly, defying my creator. It is totally unacceptable. So this friend, the priest's son, is wondering, what has gone into this man? And now the Muslim friend, because of going out in Jamaat, he realizes that my responsibility is to share Islam with the whole world. I'll never forget, there's an American student in Darul Uloom, right? From New Jersey, Maulana Shakil. He's doing the takhassus in Shafi'i fiqh at the moment. He was telling me the other day, he says, you know, I asked your brother, talking about my brother, Maulana Abu Bakr, that where you got this fikr from? You know, you give dawah to non-Muslims so beautifully, but how do we get the drive? So I was amazed. He's telling me, your brother told us, because we were in Dora when we asked this question to him. Because whenever my brother would visit us in Newcastle, I would gather the students and he used to share how to invite non-Muslims to Islam. Alhamdulillah. So my brother answered them that you want this drive and this worry for humanity's hidayat is you have to go out in Jamaat. This is the work that will give us fikr and understanding of our true responsibility. So this youngster is telling me that when he was in Darul Uloom, he's telling me, he said, I was a priest's son and I'm amazed. My friend didn't worry about ever telling me about Islam. Now he comes back from this 10 days and he's telling me about Islam. So I heard him out, but I said, never will I become Muslim. Where can I ever change my religion? What a shame it'll be for my entire society, community, family. He says, one day, my friend told me, after he returned from Jamaat, but don't tell God Almighty on Judgment Day that I didn't tell you. That my friend, you're so close to us, I don't want you to suffer in the afterlife. I can only explain to you. I can't force you to become Muslim. He says, these words took my sleep away. And then the next time, it was the next day, he was on Gush. On his return from the Gush, he just stopped by me also. He says, just come. And I joined. I went to the masjid, I performed the Isha Salah with them, And I embraced Islam, but I wasn't feeling part and parcel of the Muslim society. He says, few days later, the Jamaat was going out for chilla for 40 days. I said, I spent those 40 days. Then he felt, I am a Muslim. Then his whole perception of Islam changed. He felt part and parcel of the society. And this is the best way to feel part and parcel. For us Muslims also, and for the reverts also, where we understand deen, iman, the work of masjid is my work. Even that Pakistani cricketer, Yusuf Yohana, he was saying, I'll never forget his Kalguzari, he was saying, I was Muslim for so many years, I didn't even bother about Islam. Because he embraced Islam. He says, when I went out in Jamaat, I just returned from 3 days. Anybody who came for an autograph also, I used to tell them, give them autograph, but I'll give them dawah to Islam. This is the beauty of this work. It recharges us and enables us to understand that dawah mera kaam hai. Dawah is my work. And this is what the Quran Sharif says in Surah Yusuf, ayat number 109. That tell them, O my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, dawah is my work and my ummah's work. This is what the Quran Sharif says. Allah orders His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to tell His ummah that dawat mera kaam hai. Allah give us tawfiq. JazakAllah for the opportunity. I was supposed to discuss some historical events of Safar. Inshallah, Allah give us life and opportunity in the next week to discuss that, Mawlana Zahid Sahab.
JazakAllah khair. And make dua for us also, Mufti Sahab.
Abbi Amari Liya Mawlana. And we're waiting to make your ikram any time here and bring our brother Boniface. Any day you get off, whatever, come visit us, inshallah. And yes, before that, inshallah, we're also going to come in. Last time I came to pick up Mufti Akhi Sahab, I came inside to visit, to greet you. But I think you weren't there at that time. But inshallah, next time I come there, I'm going to come specially to greet you and our brother Boniface and the other brother who phones me this morning, alhamdulillah, these mornings, Allah bless them, inshallah, and Uncle Junaid also, inshallah.
I mean, Brother Suleiman was telling me, and I said, but Mufti Sahab came all the way and I didn't meet him. But
I came inside and I asked the brother outside, where's Mawlana Zahid Sahab? He says, not here. And I asked, is Suleiman here? So I went out to greet Suleiman, but I think y'all were not there that morning. I think it was about, what time was it? About 10 o'clock.
Okay.
I think you must have completed your program, Jay.
All right. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahib. We'll meet you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.